Babylon, the New Edition. Written by David W. Dyer. Read by Wayne O'Connor. Chapter 5, The Destruction of Babylon. Parts of this chapter are taken from the book Antichrist, written by the same author. In the following section, we will engage in some speculation about how some future events could unfold. Therefore, these ideas should be held somewhat lightly as we wait to see what will actually occur. But if and when these things begin to become real in our world, when the news is full of stories along these exact lines, then it is time to take seriously the warnings contained in this series of books about the end times. It is clear from the scriptures that it is the coming Antichrist who will destroy the place called Babylon. Revelation chapter 17, verses 16 through 18. It is inevitable that by doing so, he will also deal a great blow to the financial system of this world. This seems a little strange. Why would such a man who is anointed by or even possessed by the devil destroy such a marvelous exhibition of Satan's kingdom? Why would Satan destroy his own prostitute? We must understand that the devil has no devotion to the things and pleasures of this world. He is merely using them to achieve his ends. He is employing them to seduce the hearts of men and women away from God. He himself does not need them. They mean nothing to him personally. In the English language, a man who controls prostitutes is called a pimp. Normally, he has no emotional attachment to the women he sells. His interest in them is to use them to make money. When they become difficult, old, or sick, often he has no qualms about simply killing them. When they are of no more use to him, they are disposable. In the same way, the devil is merely using the system of this world for his own ends. Satan has no commitment to this world system along with its riches and pleasures. Even though the inhabitants of this earth are in love with these things, he himself is not attached to them. Human beings are completely deceived by them, but the devil is not. He understands with clarity that all this is just an illusion. He doesn't need either money or things. His purpose is to control men and women. He will use whatever tools are available to him to accomplish his ends. When the future Antichrist appears and sets up his kingdom, he will exert tremendous pressure and control over the world. He will have the necessary apparatus to force the inhabitants of the world to do his will. Of course, the force behind this coming man of sin is the devil. The devil will give the Antichrist his own power and authority. We read, "And the dragon, Satan, gave him, the man of sin, his power, his throne, and great authority." Revelation chapter 13, verse 2. Using this tremendous power, the Antichrist will exert pressure over the inhabitants of the world to do his will. He will have a lot of success with his program. He will be able to make most of the world worship him. Revelation chapter 13, verses 8 and 15. He will also be allowed by God to kill many who oppose him, especially believers. We read, "And it was granted to him by God to make war with the saints and overcome them." Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. Through the coming beast, Satan will assume control over the planet. So after the devil succeeds in consolidating his control over the world through the person of the Antichrist, he won't need his prostitute anymore. He won't have to entice or deceive anyone. He'll have the people of the world in the palm of his hand. His control will be much more absolute. Consequently, for him to destroy a rich and opulent place, which perhaps in times past displayed a semblance of Christianity, along with the world financial system, would give him the greatest pleasure. When he doesn't need her anymore, she becomes disposable. The destruction of the embodiment of his prostitute will not make him the least bit sad. Therefore, his prostitute will be of little more use to him. He won't need to seduce or deceive anyone anymore. He will then be in control of the world through the person of the Antichrist. He will be able to simply force anyone to do his will. If not, they will die. As we studied in the book of Antichrist, this coming beast is very religious. He revels in self-denial. He is probably a severe ascetic. He does not seduce people through worldliness, but coerces them through fear and financial pressures. So now this Babylon prostitute of the devil is dispensable. She is no longer necessary. Since it suits his purposes, Satan will allow the coming man of sin to destroy her. Since Babylon is the largest economy of the world, her destruction will have a severe impact on the rest of the world's financial situation. No doubt, her judgment will precipitate a worldwide monetary collapse. Not only those who live in Babylon will suffer, but those who are attached to and depending upon this world and the things of it will suffer also. Those who have not learned to depend upon God will be severely impacted. Those whose hearts are entwined with the system of this world will weep in anguish. Those who are committing adultery with the devil's woman will be exposed and punished. Revelation chapter 18, verses 15 through 19. How this might happen. The future Antichrist will have a problem, a very formidable problem. He will want to consolidate his power in the Middle East. His ambition is to dominate the world and make the inhabitants of the earth do his will. But if he is manifested in these days, there is one nation which will stand in his way. That pesky world policeman, the United States, will no doubt oppose his rise to power and also his control over the oil fields. See the book Antichrist, chapter 3. They, as they have done in the past, would certainly send troops, ships, and missiles to try to stop any such endeavor. So, if he is to accomplish his will, he must eliminate the United States from the picture. As we speculated in the book Antichrist, let us suppose that someone like Osama bin Laden succeeds in taking power and uniting 10 countries under his leadership. Sooner or later, he will have the threat of the United States resisting him if and when he tries to begin controlling the rest of the world. Therefore, the Antichrist must find a way to paralyze her and or eliminate this threat to accomplish his agenda. This will be absolutely essential. Due to her overwhelming military might, the United States would have to be removed from the world picture if the Antichrist is to accomplish all his will. In order for any Middle Eastern dictator to consolidate power and use his oil resources to control the world, for example, the U.S. would definitely have to be taken out of the way. Another piece of this puzzle is the tremendous hatred that the Islamic zealots have for the U.S. Supposing her to be a Christian country and witnessing the luxury in which she lives, along with the enormous amount of sexual impurity and filth in which she indulges, many in that region have developed an intense hatred for her. In their hearts, they have a firm purpose to destroy her. This should be evident to anyone who is familiar with the present world situation. Don't think that 9/11 was enough to satisfy them. The radical Muslims' goal is the total destruction of the United States. Wealthy, indulgent Babylon. These thoughts harmonize exactly with what we have studied about Babylon in the first part of this book. From the book of Revelation, we have seen her revealed as a self-indulgent, opulent, sinful location. She is proud, world-dominating, and unrepentant. Her wealth, extravagance, and lust for more and more things requires the services of every ship, shipowner, and mariner in the sea. Revelation chapter 17 and 18. Babylon is isolated from the rest of the world and mainly thinks about herself, her sinfulness in terms of adultery, fornication, murder of the unborn, homosexuality, and other such things has become rampant. She has abandoned God as her protector, casting him out of her government and schools and turned instead to idols of so-called science and humanism. Consequently, God decides to judge her. Interestingly, he chooses the Antichrist and his 10 nations to be the instruments of his judgment. They are the ones who will attack her and thoroughly burn her with fire. We read, "And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, and to give their kingdom to the beast, until the words of God are fulfilled." Revelation chapter 17, verses 16 and 17. Let us look at the phrase, "hate the harlot." It is certain that many of the countries which will probably take part in the Antichrist schemes already hate the United States. Iran, for example, attacked the U.S. embassy and took some hostages a number of years ago, calling America the Great Satan. The hatred in the Middle East towards the U.S. is tremendous and increasing every day. The terrorist acts being perpetrated against America and her allies today are motivated by a great, deep-seated hatred. These individuals see her as a corrupt, immoral society doing whatever she wants to on the world scene, trampling on anyone who gets in her way. The Beast's military efforts. The Antichrist's military efforts against Babylon will probably occur in two stages. First, he must back her off until he consolidates his power. Then, biblically, he will destroy her completely. This backing off seems to be important, since no one could rise up and assume control of 10 nations in the Middle East without attracting the attention of the U.S. No matter who the beast turns out to be, the U.S. will certainly oppose the Antichrist's rise to power in that region. She has a long history of interfering in that part of the world. So how could the Antichrist neutralize this threat while he is consolidating his power? No doubt, he will think about using some kind of terrorist activities. The first stage of backing her off might be done by some humiliating attacks with weapons of mass destruction, either chemical, biological, or nuclear. This could be what the Bible is referring to when it says that the Antichrist will make her naked. Revelation chapter 17, verse 16. The connection here is that when you strip someone of their clothes or make them naked, you humiliate them. If the beast could acquire some nuclear bombs or other such weapons, he could then put some on old cargo ships and sail them into American harbors. Or, he could smuggle some biological weapons into the country. Next, he could attack in one place and then say to the U.S., I have more weapons in your country. You either leave me alone or I will do it again. Through the fear that this kind of attack could create, he could possibly get the U.S. to tolerate his agenda, at least for a while. Finally, after humiliating her and getting her reluctant cooperation for a time, he will then destroy her with great hatred. Of course, no one can predict how these events might occur. Such speculations are only given to show how much things might be possible in today's world. Although many Americans don't really think such events are likely and believe that their government and even God will protect them, the fact is that God is on the other side. God himself will help the Antichrist execute his judgment upon Babylon. That's right. God will put his power behind the Antichrist and use him to do his will. The Almighty himself will empower the coming man of sin to bring down the world's most powerful, wealthy nation and judge her. We read again, for God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose until the words of God are fulfilled. Revelation chapter 17, verse 17. With such a divine anointing, all the protection in the world, all the intelligence gathering, along with all the safety measures, will not be enough to avoid her eventual destruction. Please, for your own sake, don't depend upon human government or resources to protect you. It is much wiser to hear from the Lord and obey him. Wealthy, sinful Babylon destroyed. A passage in Daniel chapter 8, verses 23 through 25 says a lot to confirm that a wealthy, powerful, sinful nation such as the United States will be destroyed by the Antichrist. Let us take some time and analyze this passage together. We read, and in the latter time of their kingdom, the kingdoms of the other three beasts, possibly England, Russia, and Germany, see chapter 1 of the book Antichrist, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, here we see that the sinfulness of the prostitute must reach a peak, as it did in the land of Canaan, before the Israelites destroyed them. Genesis chapter 15, verse 16. A king shall rise, having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. We have already seen in the book of Antichrist how he will be empowered by the devil. He shall destroy fearfully, possibly referring to the use of terrorist attacks, and shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty, this could be the U.S., and also the holy people. This would refer to the coming slaughter of the saints. Going on in this passage, we read, through his cunning he shall cause deceit to prosper under his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. This, too, no doubt, is speaking about the destruction of prosperous Babylon. He shall even rise against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without human hand. Another verse which indicates the destruction of some especially strong nation or nations is Daniel chapter 11, verse 39, where we read, thus he, the beast, shall act against the strongest fortresses. Today, in the area of the globe once occupied by the Ottoman Empire, from which will come the kingdom of the Antichrist, There are several countries which have, or soon will have, nuclear armaments. These same countries also have and are further perfecting missiles which can deliver these warheads. Some of these countries also have ships and decommissioned nuclear submarines bought from the former Soviet Union. It would be very possible for the U.S. to be destroyed in 1 hour by fire through a nuclear attack. This attack could be accomplished with only about 10 ships and another 10 submarines, each carrying 10 missiles apiece. Such ships do not even need to be military vessels. Average cargo ships can carry missiles in their holds. They can be fired by simply removing the hatch covers and pushing a button. These vessels could keep well outside of the territorial waters of the United States and yet hit every major city, even in the interior of the country. Such an attack of 100 to 200 nuclear missiles hitting many or most of the major cities would completely destroy the country. As an example of how this could happen, we have seen recent news reports on the web which indicate that Iran is placing some of its long-range missiles in cargo ships. Further, the current president of the country, Georgia, has revealed that in 1999 his country sold Iran 12 cruise missiles left over from the Soviet era. This means that they have had 12 years, until today, to copy them, reproduce them, and find the means to use them. Another recent news item is that Iran is producing large numbers of mini submarines, which could be very hard to detect. If and when they succeed in producing nuclear weapons, these could then be fitted in missile warheads. Although we cannot know the future or if Iran will be involved in the end time scenario, they certainly are in the right place geographically. I am told by a friend of mine who is a scientist that someone with a really evil intention could make such an attack even worse. If a significant amount of the metal cobalt is included in a warhead, the area where the missile hits would be contaminated by radiation for as long as 700 to 800 years, or even longer. This means that that region would be uninhabitable, and no one could safely travel through it or near it for centuries. At this moment, the United States is working very hard to develop a missile shield. They are inventing various means to intercept and shoot down incoming missiles. But if these attacks are launched close to her borders, it may be that there will not be enough time to detect them, activate the defenses, and then intercept the missiles. Another possibility is that the program for development will be canceled or delayed to calm the fears of other nations. What we do know with certainty is that the Bible clearly teaches that God will work against Babylon and help her enemies destroy her. He will anoint the Antichrist and his 10 kings to execute his judgment against Babylon. It therefore would not be wise for anyone to put their hope in some kind of missile defense. How Babylon is destroyed. The reader may wish to take some time here and read Jeremiah chapters 50 and 51. Here we have detailed for us the destruction of Babylon. While you are reading, please remember that part of this prophecy refers to the ancient Babylon and part to the modern one. Some of these verses have already been fulfilled and some have a future fulfillment. It is very possible that many have a dual significance and apply to both Babylons. Which exact verses refer to each one and which is to both is almost impossible to tease out. As you read, you will no doubt see in some verses events which could easily happen today. Among them are a few points which seem very clear. Babylon is destroyed by someone who comes out of the north. Jeremiah 50, verse 3, an assembly of great nations from the north country. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 9, and a people who come from the north. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 41. You may remember that much of the old Ottoman Empire, the area from which we have concluded the Antichrist will come, see the book Antichrist, chapter 1, was north of Israel. These passages do not seem to demand that the nations which destroy the end times Babylon be literally north of her geographically. For example, the only nation literally north of the U.S. is Canada. It could merely indicate where they are located in relationship to Israel, therefore demonstrating a geographical position which the Jews of that day could understand. This interpretation corresponds exactly to what we have been seeing in the previous book, Antichrist, about the man of sin's empire being centered in the Middle East. Destroyed by arrows. As you read these two chapters, you will no doubt notice that there is a strong emphasis on arrows. Please pay careful attention to this. It is extremely important. Babylon is principally destroyed by arrows. We read, "Their arrows shall be like those of an expert warrior." Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 9. Against Babylon, all around, all you who bend the bow, shoot at her, spare no arrows. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 14. Call together the archers against Babylon, all you who bend the bow, encamp against it all around. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 29. The attackers from the north shall hold the bow and the lance. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 42. Against her let the archer bend his bow. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 3. Make the arrows bright. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 11. These verses about arrows could refer and probably do refer to missiles being launched at Babylon. For example, missiles fly through the air like arrows and are often bright because of their metallic skins. Of course, this idea cannot be proven. In the days of Jeremiah, there were no missiles. Arrows or lances would have been the closest thing to a missile that the people of that day would know or understand. So it is very possible that God used the word arrows to symbolize something in the future. But it is extremely significant that ancient Babylon was not destroyed by arrows. Arrows had very little or nothing to do with its conquest. Instead, it was conquered by shovels. That's right, the tremendous defenses of ancient Babylon were defeated by shovels, not by arrows or other normal armaments. The Medes and Persians spent their time digging a canal to divert the Euphrates River. This river ran under the wall of Babylon, through the city, and out the other side. By diverting the river, the attacking armies lowered the level of the river enough so that they could come in under the wall, thus conquering the city. These invaders encountered little resistance. The defenses of ancient Babylon were rendered useless. This fact is very important. Since ancient Babylon was not literally destroyed by archers or arrows, we are forced to conclude that these verses must apply to the end times Babylon. They do not, and in fact cannot, apply to the conquest of the ancient city. Therefore, they must refer to the last Babylon. Another feature of these two chapters is the destruction of Babylon by fire. and the desolation that results. The result of being uninhabitable is also mentioned. Jeremiah chapter 50 verse 3 says that the attack will make her land desolate. Because of the wrath of the Lord, she shall not be inhabited, but she shall be wholly desolate. Everyone who goes by Babylon shall be horrified and hiss at all her plagues. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 13. We are told that Babylon will become a desolation among the nations. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 23. And that her attackers will destroy her utterly. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 26. God will kindle a fire in his Babylon's cities. It is significant here that this says more than one city, and it will devour all around. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 32. Babylon shall be inhabited no more forever, nor shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 39. The destruction of Babylon is compared to Sodom and Gomorrah, in which a fire fell from heaven that made it uninhabitable. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 40. God will make Babylon a burnt mountain, and she shall be desolate forever. Jeremiah chapter 51, verses 25 and 26. She will become an astonishment and a hissing without an inhabitant. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 37. Her cities, again plural, indicating a nation, are a desolation, a dry land, and a wilderness, a land where no one dwells, through which no son of man passes. Possibly because of the residual radiation. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 43. If this author is correct and modern Babylon will be destroyed by an atomic attack, this would produce all the effects about which we have been reading. No doubt such a large-scale nuclear strike would also contaminate the air, which, as it moves across the globe, will have some effects on other nations also. It may be that other countries will make attempts to deal with the fires and the sources of this radiation, as they did when the Chernobyl accident occurred in the Soviet Union, but they will have little success. Perhaps this is why the people will labor in vain, and the nations because of the fire, and they shall be weary. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 58. You have just listened to a chapter from one of David Dyer's books. These recordings or copies of the book are available at www.agrainofwheat.com. No spaces, all small letters. That's www.agrainofwheat.com.